All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. March 18th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. It is Monday. Back to work. Back to the grind. A lot of shit to do today. Got a lot of crap. I saw this. I don't really have a lot going on today. I thought I'd just come in and chat a little bit. I saw this lady on TV last night. I think she's like 90-something, and this kid, of course, this young guy's like, you know, what have you learned in this life? And she's like, you know, all the things that we think matter don't, right? All the crap. You know, she's like, I needed China, and I had to have all this furniture and a big house and all these things, right? And at 92, she's like, none of it matters. She goes, my kids don't even want it. And it is funny. My parents were never big on having stuff, right? I think a lot of, especially my parents' generation, things were passed down, China and furniture and this and that. And I think a lot of people were into antiques. But it seems like after the pandemic, everything's changed. Nobody wants any antiques. Nobody wants old stuff. And I think that's sort of a general statement. I don't know if that's fair. I even say that, but I do feel the vibe, right? The vibe, and I know that, you know, my dad has some antiques and some china, and you know, I don't want it. He wants me to take it, and I will take it, but it's not important to me. It's not important to me, and I've never been one to want a lot of stuff, and I've never quite accumulated much stuff. I also have never really had my shit together very well to get a lot of stuff, right? The stuff that I got was a lot of tweaker crap and junk like that. And when we moved out of our old house into our new house, we really minimized. And we were coming from a little, you know, our new house is bigger than our old house, right? But it's not a huge house. And it's perfect for a family of five, right? And, I said as is, right? We sold that house. The house is sold. We did not burst into flames. Everything worked out fine. Everyone's happy. But I was like, as is, right? Take the crap. When we rented it out for that short period of time, it was like, take that stuff. I am leaving this junk behind. And that's sort of what we've done. And we've very, very minimal stuff at our house now. And it was funny to see that lady was like, you know, all the shit that I thought was important is not, you know, china, antiques, big houses, you know, tons of furniture. She goes, all the stuff that I needed to have, right? Needed to have. And turns out I didn't need it at all, which is weird, right? Because I have been through stuff like that, right? There are things I felt that I absolutely needed, and turns out I didn't really need them. You know, that's one of the cool things when I came into recovery that, you know, go on your second thought, right? Think. There was all these, my sponsor used to tell me, go on your second thought, right? Don't go on your first thought. Think it through. And I was like, that's silly. But there are a lot of weird shit and a lot of decisions made on our first thought, right? And I, since getting sober, have tried to practice that, right? Whether it's anything I want to buy, anything I want to say, anything I want to do, I have to really go on my second thought just to see, you know, to make sure who's behind the first thought, right? And a lot of the times, right, there will be things, especially, you know, like with Amazon, right? I'll get up sometimes in the morning, I'll get some coffee, and I'll just go in my office and read, you know, look at the computer, and I'll go on Amazon just for the hell of it, right? Just to look around. I don't know. My brain will tell me I need something. And, man, it is so easy to buy shit. And I'm like, you know what? And I put it in. Like, if something I come across that I think I really need, I'll just add it to my cart, right? I just add it, and then I'll come back and look at the cart. Because honestly, if it's not like the old days, right, when you used to buy shit and it would take weeks, right? A week, 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, however long it would take to get there, right? Today, it seems like you order it and it's here the next day. And so that, which is cool because you can go on and try to think of your second thought and put a little pause in between the purchase button, right? And so what I'll do is I just put shit in my cart, right? And then I'll come back. Like the other day, I went on Amazon and I was looking in my cart, and I'm like, God, I do not need that again, right? I was deleting shit that I thought that I needed, right? And turns out I would come back and later realize that I didn't, right? So I dump all the shit out of my cart. And I don't know, it's pretty funny. But these are all new habits. Turns out, you know, my father my mom and dad had, you know, they weren't huge collectors of stuff, but my dad's going to have a lot of stuff we're going to have to go through, a lot of antiques. And, you know, that lady's like, you know, they don't even make houses for antiques, which is absolutely true, because my mom and dad did have some cool antiques, but you can't really use them in these houses today because they don't have any space for them, right? The space is weird, and the way the windows and the, I don't know what the rules, right, of building a house, I don't know what they are, but I'm sure there's some amount of inches between a corner and a window. I think I shared one day I had this corner hutch that my dad gave us, very cool, old antique, tried to stick it in a corner, and every side, on each side of it, it would, you know, block half the window. It was weird.
Cup I ask silently, all my destinations will accept the one that's me, so I can breathe. Circles they grow and they swallow people whole. After lives they say goodnight to wives they'll never know. And a mind full of questions and a teacher in my soul, and so it goes. Closer or I'll have to go. Holding me like gravity are places that pull. If ever there was someone to keep me at home, it would be you. Everyone I come across in cages they bought. They think of me and my wandering, but I'm never what they thought. Got my indignation, but I'm pure in all my thoughts. I'm alive. Wind in my hair, I feel part of everywhere. Underneath my being is a road that disappeared. Late at night I hear the trees, they're singing with the dead.
God, what a great song. Guaranteed, Eddie Vedder. That is from Into the Wild soundtrack. And that is an amazing movie, right? Great song, great movie. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it is freaking pretty amazing, man. And, you know, it reminds me a little bit of recovery. This idea of basically, you know, if you've seen the movie, this kid, I forget all the little details, but I think his parents had a lot of money and he was just sort of frustrated with the way the life was, right, or their life was. And he basically just drove his car, parked it in a ditch, and left all the shit and just started walking into the woods, right, and just started taking care of himself. And this journey that he would go on and meeting all these different people and then finally ended up into a bus in Alaska. And, you know, if you haven't seen the movie, spoiler alert, but, you know, he starves to death, right? He starves to death and it's sad, but it's a, one of the interesting things in my life has been me starting over a couple times, right? You, as people, me as a person, you know, I go through life acquiring things and, you know, looking certain ways to certain people and having, you know, earning respect and losing respect and becoming a person in a community and falling out of a community and whatever it is that we do, but this journey, right? And then at some point, you know, I've lost it all, right? I lost everything. I've done that a couple times, and it's tough, right? Because at the time it feels hopeless and like there is no chance, right? But what am I comparing it to, right? There is no chance to be like the neighbor, right? Or there's no chance to be like my parents, right? Because it seems like my whole life it's always been about comparing to other people. You know, I've talked about this relationship with the higher power. All of my relationships with the hope of having a relationship with the higher power was all based on what somebody else had. Right? I've never, ever, ever fucking thought for myself, felt for myself, been happy with what I have, been happy not having anything. Right? Always disappointed. I'm just not like that guy, right? I do it a lot on Facebook. I'll see people fucking, you know, I see these guys that were on my soccer team, right, when I was a kid, and they're fucking, you know, doing these great things, and you're like, how come I couldn't be like that, right? But I don't know their story, right? And that's just a stupid little example just because I just looked at my Facebook. But it's like, it's always like, how come I could never just be happy with me? I think I have become happy with me. It's taken a long time. You know, I feel like I'm sort of in a place in my life today. I really don't care what other people have or have done. And I'm pretty pleased, you know, I'm pretty content, you know, and I've learned, you know, whether it's through this program or watching other people or, you know, music, right? Getting stuff is not everything, right? Buying the most crap isn't winning. To me, it's like, how much stuff can I not buy? Winning, right? How much stuff, how much money can I not waste? Winning, right? It's like always this, my whole life has been driven by self, and self likes stuff. Self wants to compare, be aware, right? Be part of, run with the Joneses, right? And that's not a great place. And one of the things that starts to happen when I've gotten sober and learned this program and started to head down that path to serenity, right? By, you know, doing these six, and this week is, you know, we start getting into the seventh step, right? This six and seven, right? Our character defects. And I think it is a character defect for me to base my thoughts of myself, what I think of myself, based on other people. It's a character defect. I will and have for a long time been very disappointed, right? I've fallen short of what everybody else has done. But what I'm learning today is it doesn't matter, right? Like that 92-year-old lady, she's like, all of this was for nothing, right? You know, she said she had a nice life. She goes, our world was different back then, you know, at the age of 92, right, when she said, by the time I was 30, I had four children. You know, back in those days, we had kids early. You know, we didn't spend this life of self, right? It started, you know, probably happening more in my generation. I'm 55. And the next generation, you see it. It's really not. They're all about themselves. And you know what? Whatever. I can't look over and say that's wrong. I have no idea. But they're definitely, you know, they're less interested in having kids. They're less interested in buying houses. They're really interested in just living their best life. And you know what? Go for it. I don't know, right? Because I didn't live like that. And in the end, I still sort of ended up miserable. So what do I know, right? Maybe that's the move. But I know as a guy that's getting older and recovery and trying to have a clear path to some sort of serenity in my life, I'm realizing that stuff, right? Stuff isn't what makes us happy. And now I'm sort of in this position today where I'm having to, you know, I'm closing down the salon. We closed down a house. I'm closing down a studio, which I have, you know, which I had two doors down with my buddy Gav. And I'm having to dig through all of this fucking stuff. And every piece of stuff that I put my hands on, a memory reminds me of what it was that I thought I needed this. right? Like, I have a lot of microphones, and I'm like, well, I didn't need microphones. We were doing big podcasts and stuff, but all of these things, and I'm like, yeah, I remember when I bought this and how important it was, and here it is. I'm making a dilemma if I'm going to have to throw this thing into the trash can because I don't want it, right? I don't want to be responsible for it. I don't want to carry it around. I don't want to store it, right? I am in this place. I don't want to store anything. I don't want any stuff. Weird, right? And so this week we start that seventh step, right? Humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. I haven't even opened the book, and I'm pretty sure that's what it says. Humbly, humbly, humbalabalum. Let's see. Pretty sure that's it. Yeah, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. I've had this. And when the other thing I'm realizing is I like doing this podcast. I enjoy sitting down. If I could do it every day, I would. Maybe one day I will. I don't know. But I like the amount of times that I do it. And what I'm learning is that I'm going to just talk about some of the same shit over and over and over. And just hope, you know, that people, if they do listen to this podcast, you know, find things that help them find recovery and maybe move on. And maybe new people come in. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's the same people. Part of me is beating myself up a little bit because I want to talk about new things every time. And I want to talk about new things. But reality is it's these 12 steps and 12 traditions of this program that saved my life. And that's the whole point of this. Right? And so here we go back down the memory lane of step seven. And, you know, I had that conversation with that guy. I said, our shortcomings, the last 10%, right? And he goes, I thought they were maybe the first 10%. So there's a question. You know, how does these things work in our lives? Humbly asked him to remove these shortcomings. And I'm like, well, I don't even know what that is. And after doing this program, you know, there are things that I do feel a little residual, right? You know, I'm not perfect at. I've probably tackled 90% of it. But still, I talk about it all the time. I don't like this natural place that I go to when I get annoyed, right? It's like murder. Right? I mean, I'm not murdering anybody, but it's not positive. It's not pleasant. Motherfucker, son of a bitch, right? Whatever it is. It's always like this asshole or that asshole. Or even like when I'm cleaning out my studio and I'm sort of like character assassinating my buddy, really, because he said, you know, we have to get out of the studio. I'm going to sublease it. And due to the fact that I have to get out, I'm sort of attacking his character in my mind. You know, I'm slaughtering him slightly. Yeah, that's not good. He's a good friend of mine. I love this guy. But just a little nasty sometimes, and I don't like it. And so my question is that my shortcomings, am I falling short of cleaning it all the way up? And then I talked to a guy with a bunch of time, and he said that he felt like that these were the beginnings of character defects. And I was like, oh, shit, that kind of blew my mind a bit too, right? I'm like, whoa. And maybe, right? But maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a little bit of the before and a little bit of the after. The point is that I haven't cleaned it all the way up, right? And when some shortcoming starts to get going, I have to address it and try to prevent it from becoming a giant character defect. And I've seen that happen, right? I have definitely seen that happen. And if I can... I've been doing, I don't know what it is. I've had a lot of, I guess maybe my age, I don't know, but procrastination has started to creep in a bit again. Right. And I'll do things today that I feel are maybe the seeds of a procrastination bush, right? It's like, I'm just feel like, like yesterday, like Saturday, right? Like Friday. Friday, I was like, Saturday, I'm going to work my day. And then I got a lot of stuff. It was for Sunday, actually, I should say. So Saturday, I was paddling and stuff. But I was like, tomorrow is Sunday. I got to go over there and clean out the studio. I got to start cleaning out the salon. I got a lot of stuff to get done. And then on Sunday, I was like, I think I'm going to do it all on Monday. I can't really think of something that I did new that would be the beginning of a new character defect. It actually just sounds like good old-fashioned procrastination. And that's what I did. I'm like, you know what? To Sunday is for family, right? I kind of made up a story in my head. Sunday's for family. I need to relax. I need to rest. Right? I need to recoup. And I'll take care of this on Monday. And sure enough, you know, today came along and I got up and I was, you know, full bore. Let's get this shit taken care of. So maybe it isn't true. I don't know. I know that I'm not. I know. I guess maybe, you know, maybe the social media thing creeped up on me more than I thought or had realized. Maybe that, and I don't know if that's a character defect. Maybe the fact that I use social media to entertain myself and find news, really, I don't know how else to find any news. I mean, it's either, it's all media, right? So I don't know if that, I will say that the effects from social media had starting really to bother me, and I wasn't expecting that. And I had to make some choices, and one of them being I had to take off, like, some stuff off of my phone. And nothing, you know, not Instagram, right? Newsbreak, those were the two. Instagram and Newsbreak. Instagram is back on my phone today because, you know, my phone said, you need to put your Instagram on so you can update it, right? That's when Facebook got shut down. And I know better, and I haven't taken it off, right? So maybe that's me falling short there. But I can tell you that the humbly part, right? The humbly asked is, I think, you know, a new way of life. This is the transition, right? This is where we start to learn about humility, right? This is where we start to learn about this self-centered side of us. And selfishness, I think, is a character defect. And we can definitely shine a big-ass spotlight on it, right? But can we remove selfishness completely out of our lives? I don't know. And maybe that is a shortcoming. That's where maybe I fall short. I feel like I'm, you know, considerate of others. But, like, even on Sunday, I said, you know, I'm not going to go do the stuff that I need to do because I need to relax, right? Maybe that was selfish. I didn't take away from anything. I felt like I had done everything that I needed to do, but I don't know, man. This stuff is secretive and mysterious, and you know. But it is about the humility, right? We recognize it. Maybe I do have a problem. Humbly asked him to remove our short. Humbly asked God. Is it God? Yeah. Because this is, to me, falls back into that sort of the same thing with the sixth step. You know, this new relationship for me. Right, for me, this is how these steps are working in my life and in my peace and joy, right? But what I've found is that, you know, shortcomings, character defects, they all keep me separated from this relationship, from this new relationship, this 2.0 relationship with God, right? With a higher power, with good, right? With Yah. Whatever we want to call this higher power, but it's a relationship that I ask for nothing, right? My whole life I've been asking for something and haven't found anything, and now I'm trying this new path, this new idea of not asking for anything and just recognizing the shit that makes me afraid. And whether it's a little bit of it or deep down into that character defect, they do create fear. And then when you're afraid and you're full of fear, I don't have that relationship anymore, and that's not good. Well, I'd be fine probably. I don't know, right? How bad is it, Tom? How bad are we? Are we on the verge? We're not. But I also, you know, I want to, you know, you know, when I, like, I'm leaving the salon, part of me wants to, you know, throw him the finger. Fuck you. Fuck you, right? You don't know how important I've been to this place. And I don't really feel that way, but that's sort of the feeling in there. You feel kind of like, you know, I've been renting this place for 14 years. That's what we do, right? Stop. It takes a lot of work to be normal. Let's not raise up our hands and clap for doing exactly, because I did what I did and they did what they did, right? They provided a building and I rented it. But just there's this thing, right? There's this part of me, right? And it's arrogance. Like my buddy said, we're arrogant. And it's usually based on convenience in my life. And me leaving the salon and me changing everything, me parking my car and walking into the woods is an inconvenience. But at the same time, it's freeing me from a lot of shit, right? I feel like I'm that guy walking into the woods. I'm letting go of a lot of stuff, right? I'm letting go of the salon, podcast studio, simplifying my life, just going to work for somebody, sold the house, you know, just getting rid of stuff, right? None of this stuff matters. What matters is my family, my relationship with God, and my sobriety. Not necessarily in that order either. Sobriety, well, I guess it would be God, sobriety, family, right? I guess it would be sobriety, God, family, because you can't put anything before sobriety. I think you get the picture, right? It's all important. And to see the smile on my kids' faces is important, but it can't be everything, right? Because they do leave, right? I see that happen a lot. A lot of people will, you know, be such great parents and make that such a big part of their life, and it is a big part of your life, but eventually they leave. And then you're like sort of sit there going, oh, you know, it's like when a person has a person that's in their life that's an alcoholic, right? And then that person gets sober and the person that's been sort of taking care of them for so long, right? They get bummed out. They get bummed out, right? They're like, I've been taking care of you, right? It's the same thing with our kids. We take care of our kids and then eventually, what in God? You know, we spend all this time taking care of our kids and eventually our kids leave. And then we're like, I'm bummed out, right? I was bummed out when my kid left. I had to sort of come to this conclusion, right? That he's leaving and I need to get over it. So I don't know. The seventh step, you know, starts this week and we'll get into it. But it's pretty clear, you know, at this point, I think in recovery at the seventh step, if I've worked these steps and worked with a sponsor, I've come a long way, right? And I have done the seventh step as a victim of alcoholism. And, you know, I think it was important. I think, you know, the conversations are had, time is put aside to work on stuff. I'm not sure that I had come to any great conclusions back in those days. But today, as a person that is not a victim of alcoholism, I am just fascinated by this stuff and how magical it is, right? How awesome it is that I can work on this kind of stuff and really free myself up, really find peace, like do one thing, right, and feel the results. It's amazing. It's amazing. All right, I'm going to read the Daily Reflections. And then I'm going to go, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got the salon, the studio cleaned out. I get to go take my dad for breakfast. Had a scare with him. He had to go to the hospital on Saturday. He was having a hip issue. You know, my dad's 80, he's going to be 87, right? And he's been having some hip issues. And so he said, I'm going to go to PT and get him to work on me. And I said, sounds good. So he went to PT and they worked on him. And he came home and he goes, I feel worse now than when they worked on me. And I go, well, Dad, that happens. You know, sometimes they loosen that stuff up, right? They get the kinks out. And but what my dad did, which was a mistake, and here's a little, and you know, probably everybody knows this, right? Except for me and my dad. And he didn't ask me, so I didn't give him this advice. But he told me, this is what's up. He said that when you injure yourself or you have something like that, you can use ice on it immediately afterward. But after using the ice, everything after that needs to be heat. Heat. And apparently it, you know, the ice congeals up the blood, man. You got to be careful, especially when you're old. And so he went home. He had gone to PT, and then 2 days later, he put a bunch of ice on his hip, and it really jammed him up. So, you know, just a thing out there, you know, if you got old parents and they're taking care of themselves, let them know, you know, after you, if you're sore, you can use ice, but after that, it's always heat, right? And so that's what my dad had done, and he got up Saturday and could not get out of bed, and we had to take him to the hospital, and that's where the doctors checked him out, and he's fine, you know, but he said you can't put ice on your, you know, your soreness. I don't know what the time, I would say an hour, everything after an hour, maybe. Everything should be warm, hot. Maybe you can put ice in it in the first half hour or first 15 minutes, but after that it's heat. And so he learned a lesson, and he's 87, right? We all still can learn. But yeah, a little scared. I had, you know, I kind of went to that place, like what it'll be like when my dad's gone. And I'm really, 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 I cannot be any more grateful. And I recommend if you have any riffs with your parents, go fucking clean them up, man. Go clean them up. And I had so many riffs with my parents, especially my father. And due to this program, I was able to put my foot down and say, listen, I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to make up and be a good son to you for the rest of your life, right? And he didn't really believe me. And we've gone back and forth, but here we are. And he was over last night for dinner. And it's just, you know, one of my greatest accomplishments, I feel, is cleaning up any bullshit that I had with my father and just being there for him, because he, you know, it's a scary time. It's a scary time to be 87. And, you know, I just so grateful. And so, yeah, I just, if you can do that, clean it up. I told my wife, you know, clean that shit up. You know, it's a waste of our lives to spend any time fighting with our parents at this point. Oh, shit, we're going late. All right, here, let me just read this. Real independence, March 18th. The more we become willing to depend upon a higher power, the more independent we actually are. So that's, you know, and if I could just comment on that for a second. The more we become willing to depend upon a higher power. So for me, you know, that higher power is just this place of peace, right? And the more I depend on that place of peace to be here, you know, the more I protect it. And this is the higher power, the more independent we actually are, right? Because then we're not fucking in all this fear. Anyway, sorry. That's the 12 steps, 12 traditions, page 36. I start with a little willingness to trust God, and he causes that willingness to grow. The more willingness I have, the more trust I gain. And the more trust I gain, the more willingness I have. Yes, yeah, sure. My dependence on God grows as my trust in him grows. Before I became willing, I depended on myself for all my needs, and I was restricted by my incompleteness. Through my willingness to depend upon my higher power, whom I choose to call God, all my needs are provided for by someone who knows me better than I know myself. Even the needs I may not realize, as well as the ones yet to come, only someone who knows me that well could bring me to be myself and to help me fill the need in someone else that only I meant to fill. There never will be anything exactly like me, and that is real independence. Wow, Jesus. Yeah, go read that. Yeah. I think, for, you know, for me, it was really just trying to figure out what is a relationship with God, and I think everyone has a different one, and it's all good. Yeah, but go read that. Hey, anyway, we went a little long. I apologize. I hope everyone has a great day. It is Monday. We'll talk more about the seventh step, I'm sure, right? But have a great day. Later.
An empty cup I ask silently. All my destinations will accept the one that's me, so I can breathe. Circles that grow and they swallow people whole. After lives they say goodnight to wives they'll never know. And a mind full of questions and a teacher in my soul. And so it goes. answer or I'll have to go. Pulling me like gravity are places that pull. If ever there was someone to keep me at home, it would be you. Everyone I come across in cages they bought. They think of me and my wandering, but I'm never what they thought. Got my indignation, but I'm pure in all my thoughts. I'm